Supernatural goal from Lionel Messi.
Ronaldinho takes, and David Seaman's cool off his line, and Brazil take the lead. Oh, how about that?
Shaqiri. Here is Shaqiri. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes!
Destination 2026, Houston's Countdown to the Cup.
Presented by Coca-Cola Southwest, Houston Methodist, NRG, and Quanta.
For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, everybody, welcome into Destination 2026. I'm Glenn Davis, Houston's Countdown to the Cup. And it's all brought to you by Houston Methodist, Coca-Cola Southwest, Energy, Quanta, Visit Sugarland, and our newest sponsor, Aramco. And we super excited to get this show underway here tonight. We will have Brian Chiaretta come on with the U.S. men's national team playing up in Austin on Friday against Ecuador. We're going to preview that match. We're going to talk about some of the key talking points around the U.S. national team positionally, who's in camp, who's not. We're going to get after it with a visit for the U.S. men's national team to Austin, Texas. Interested to see what type of crowd comes out for that game as well up in Austin. Also, I want to get you up to date on FWC26Houston.com. Yes, FWC26Houston.com. It's where you get the merchandise here. You get tickets, information, volunteer information. That's your go-to, FWC26Houston.com. Your go-to is also Destination 2026 and Soccer Matters. I also will remind you we have a really, really interesting art exhibit going on. It's a mixture of soccer and art. It's called, quote, The Beautiful Game Art Exhibit, HCC Southeast. It's set up and curated by Battiri. This is ongoing since September 30th. It'll go through October 17th. And a number of great artists will be there, including a guest tonight on the show, 12-year-old Valentina Quiroga. And talk about the cutest interview ever. That's it. So I'm going to re-air that from last night's Soccer Matters. So please take that in. And don't forget, next Tuesday, Senate Avenue Brewing. You wear a soccer jersey, free craft beer if you wear a soccer jersey out to that event. All right, so let's get some general things going here. First off, we're getting closer and closer to the World Cup. As John Schuler told you on the last show, the new World Cup 26 ball has been unveiled by Adidas. It's the official match ball for next summer's World Cup. Now, Adidas is saying that this ball is going to enable faster offside decisions. It's going to help identify potential handballs. It's called the Trionda, meaning three waves. It has the colors of red, green, and blue. That represents the three host nations, the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. It has a sensor in it that transmits real-time data to FIFA's VAR system. So it's technology is rolling on here. It's also got a player tracking data and AI. It'll help officials make faster offside and handball decisions by pinpointing the exact moment of contact. Adidas says the design offers, quote, optimal in-flight stability, unquote. World Cup balls, we do remember, did face some criticism. I think it was 2010 in South Africa where the ball was moving in really, really crazy ways, which yeah, it brought a little bit of a conspiracy theory to the take on, hey, we're trying to produce more goals. You'll remember 1970, Adidas began and debuted the Telstar ball. So pretty interesting stuff. Hope you enjoyed Soccer Matters last night. Again, the U.S. on Friday will take on Ecuador. in Austin, Texas. Tomorrow you've got a boatload of World Cup qualifying matches. You got Finland, Lithuania, Austria, San Marino, Belarus, Denmark. So this is just a reminder. There are 48 teams in this World Cup. We've got seven games in Houston. The 48 teams is a graduation from 32. This is the largest World Cup in history. And the qualifying is still going on in places like Africa, CONCACAF, and also in UEFA in Europe. Cyprus, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Czech Republic, Croatia, Faroe Islands, Montenegro, Malta, and the Netherlands, Scotland, and Greece. CONCACAF tomorrow, you got Nicaragua, Haiti, Honduras, Costa Rica. You also have tomorrow in Africa, a ton of matches, Burundi and Kenya, Botswana and Uganda, Liberia and Namibia. By the way, Liberia, well, a Houston product, Chris Bondi, represented Liberia many years back. Malawi against Equatorial Guinea, Mozambique against Guinea, Somalia and Algeria are some of the games in African qualifying. And then you've also got the under 20 World Cup, the U.S. taking on Italy, and I would assume that the Houston Dynamo's Brooklyn Reigns will get the start in that one and continue being in the shop window at the under 20 Men's World Cup. And then you've got Morocco and South Korea. By the way, Mexico had a big win yesterday, 4-1 over the host nation, Chile. And then we have a friendly, I think, down in the Hard Rock in Florida, Argentina, and Venezuela. So a number of stuff going on. But, you know, all the cities that are trying to get ready for the World Cup, I mean, I think sometimes, you know, we're here for the games, but all kinds of stuff is going on. You got stadium renovations and infrastructure work going on. That's not only here in Houston at Energy. That's also at the famed Azteca Stadium in Mexico. That's where it's going to kick off. They're doing everything, apparently, from new changing rooms, VIP hospitality, seating, the facade of the stadium, lighting, LED lighting, new player tunnels. And, of course, there's always some sort of controversy. I guess there's a labor union thing going on down there. MetLife Stadium in New York is doing major upgrades. I would think most every stadium involved is doing something to upgrade and get to the standardization of FIFA, which, you know, as we all know, are very big sticklers on the stadiums. So the World Cup schedule has been finalized, 16 host cities across three countries. Opening match, again, is in Mexico City at Azteca Stadium, the legendary, which that makes so much sense. There's so much history in that building. And in the final, as we mentioned, MetLife Stadium. The weather has been a big issue, and it was in 94. FIFA has announced that indoor or partially covered venues will be prioritized for daytime kickoffs in hot cities to reduce the heat. So that applies to us here in Houston. We could get a lot of daytime kickoffs, which I don't mind that. I like that, actually. Go to the game at a reasonable hour during the day. That probably makes it easier on a lot of things as opposed to under nightfall. So that would be Houston, Dallas, Atlanta, and Vancouver, who are the stadiums that, you know, can be covered and close a roof. So if you're looking for climate controlled, we're going to get it here in Houston. Three host nations have been working, and this is a big, big one, safety, security, and that kind of preparation. I can't even imagine what the budget is for that. The Inter-Confederation playoff matches for teams not yet qualified, this is still going on, are going to take place in North America, and they're going to use those as sort of test matches. So that's pretty interesting, because we got to remember there's only 17 teams qualified out of the 48 right now, and that includes the three host nations. Hotels are already being booked, places like Houston and Dallas. They're booking up. And then you got a whole bunch of other really interesting things that continue to go on. So it's moving fast. It's going to be interesting to see how Metro and everything works down here when it comes to getting people around. I think, as we've mentioned on this show before, there's going to be an awful lot of people, I think, that are going to use Houston as their base to potentially get to other cities to see games and then come back. So it's going to be pretty interesting how this whole World Cup flows here in Houston. The Fan Festival, obviously, is going to be down in Edo. So this infrastructure is getting updated there by the moment. Precision Turf has been selected for the Stadium Grass Project. And then the Fan Festival in Edo is going to go for 39 days. So local bars and restaurants are certainly going to benefit. But I don't think it's just down there. I mean, that's going to be the big focal point for a lot of people. But I think you're going to see different areas of the city, like Sugar Land, that's a host city. You're going to see the Woodlands, Senate Avenue Brewing up in Jersey Village. I think there's going to be a lot of people who aren't going to go into the mix. And, you know, that's going to spurn different areas across the Houston area proper for viewing and excitement and people getting together. So it should be pretty awesome. And hopefully it's going to have a long-term effect on our community down here. And the one thing that's really got me encouraged is the plans to create 60 soccer fields. Now, I don't know how in stone this is, but 60 soccer fields across 11 parks in Harris County. I'm working on finding out where those will be. But we do know there is a shortage of soccer fields, and the youth, the adult communities, they definitely all could use more soccer fields. I mean, you got soccer clubs now trying to buy land, build, you know, have their own fields. It is truly an issue. And the more soccer fields, the better. So 60 soccer fields, the plan includes, so it just says the plan includes 60 soccer fields across 11 parks in Harris County. So it'll be interesting to know which ones will get it and where, and that can have a real impact. That's the one you want, and those can be kind of the 2026 legacy soccer fields from the World Cup. That's how you keep it moving. That's a good thing. All right, Brian Charette is going to join me next. We're going to talk U.S. men's national team. They're in action against Ecuador. By the way, Ecuador, this is a good litmus test for the U.S. Three of their next four games are going to be against South American competition. We got Ecuador coming up this week in Austin. Then you get Paraguay and Uruguay down the road. You've also got Australia in there. All four of those teams have qualified for the World Cup. Obviously, you're not getting European teams right now because a lot of them are still involved in UEFA World Cup qualifying. But to get these three games against South American teams, these are good litmus tests. This is really good stuff, I think, when it comes to, you know, players pushing to make the national team and be a part of the upcoming national team. Pretty important. All right. Take a break here. It's Destination 2026, Houston's Countdown to the Cup, brought to you by Coca-Cola Southwest, Houston Methodist Energy, Quanta, Visit Sugarland, and Aramco. When we come back, we start talking about our U.S. men's national team. We want them to do well in this upcoming World Cup. How you feeling about them? Well, we're going to talk about it with Brian Charette coming up next.
You're listening to Destination 2026, Houston's Countdown to the Cup.
Presented by Coca-Cola Southwest, Houston Methodist, NRG, and Quanta.
For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Destination 2026. We roll on here tonight. A couple of things here. FWC26Houston.com. That's where you can get merchandise, tickets, information. If you want to volunteer there as well for the World Cup that's going to be here in Houston, it's FWC26Houston.com. Again, great place to get caught up on all information. And if you want to get that early Houston sort of World Cup related merchandise, that is the place to go. Also, a reminder, Monday the 20th, the Aurora Picture Show in the East End will air the movie called Campeones. It's about the 1978 World Cup in Argentina. Obviously, the final was against Argentina. They won over the Netherlands without Johan Cruyff. That's our event called Monday Night Football. With that, we bring in from American Soccer Now, Brian Schiretta. Brian, thanks for coming on the show as always.
Anytime, Glenn. Thanks for having me on.
All right. We're getting closer and closer. We're only 246 days away from the World Cup. How about that, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. I count them by number of international windows, but yeah, it's just it's scary to think that in another year we're even in another World Cup cycle. So it's kind of crazy.
Well, I thought in your house you had a giant screen with a countdown that you had every morning when making coffee.
Yeah, I you'd think so, but man, I try not to do that stuff. I got a lot between now and then.
All right, let's talk. We got the U.S. Ecuador this Friday in Austin, Texas. I'm interested if Houston fans are going to be heading up there for that. I'm sure there will be some. But this is a very good matchup for preparation form for the U.S. and Mauricio Pochettino. So some just initial thoughts on the opponent.
Good team. I think any chance to play an opponent where you can gain positive momentum for the team and the program is a worthwhile opponent. I hope that next year you start seeing, maybe in the November window, you see some real powerful teams. But this is the kind of game where U.S. can kind of do what it wants to do and test out players and probably get an indication as to the type of teams it might face during the group stages of the World Cup, as like the more powerful teams will be after that.
Yeah, next four games, the U.S. has got Ecuador, Paraguay, and Uruguay. So a lot of South America in their next four. They got Australia sprinkled in there as well. Ecuador is a good opponent, in my opinion, Brian. Very disciplined team, a lot of midfield strength, very combative, good team shape. Got a couple of names everybody knows, Moises Caicedo. Kendry Paz is a creative player. That's kind of the future. You got the legendary Ener Valencia. So this should be good in Austin. I think a nice one for fans to get out to as well.
Yeah, I mean, I like when you said combative. They play hard, and they're not going to give the U.S. anything, and especially if you're trying to recreate intense environments in a friendly kind of an atmosphere. That can be tough to do sometimes, but Ecuador is going to come to win, and they'll play hard. So the U.S. team has to match that intensity, which is something that they need to be able to do regularly.
Brian Schiretta, American Soccer Now, joining us this weekend. I watched Milan against Juventus. Obviously, Christian Pulisic missed a penalty in that one. Played well, though, according to his coach, and created some real good chances. But the other sidebar to this was Weston McKennie getting 90 minutes. He's back in camp now. So is Anthony Robinson. This is good news for U.S. fans.
Yeah, you know, I think Anthony, I'd be surprised if he plays 180 minutes in this game. He's still not back. He's still not back to playing regularly or even all that much for Fulham. So it's a process here, and I think the U.S. is going to respect that process and not try to give him anything more than what he's getting at Fulham, which is minutes here and there. So I think you'll still see a lot of Max Arfston at left back. I think with Weston, it's always interesting. You know, he's back into Juventus's plans. He's playing okay. But he hasn't looked great for the U.S. national team, you know, in a year and a half. He's coming off two bad tournaments in a row at the Copa America and then the Nations League. So the question is when are we going to see the good version of Weston again? Is this guy going to be back to leading this team and anchoring its midfield and winning all those duels and battles and being a real force in that field? He's got a lot to prove. What he does at Juventus isn't going to affect that. He has to step on the field with the U.S. team and play up to the best of his abilities, because it's been a long time since he's done so.
And again, it's another guy that has World Cup experience, which, you know, that's got to factor into what Mauricio Pochettino decides, I would think, don't you? The fact that there's a base of guys that played in this last World Cup and got out of the group stages.
To a point, you know, I think if Weston struggles, or, you know, even like, look, Moussa's has World Cup experience. He's not here. You know, it's up to these guys to perform with the U.S. team every time they get a chance. If they're not performing well for the U.S. team, he's not going to go back and say, oh, well, they played well at the last World Cup. I got to rely on that. No, I think he's going to move on. You know, everyone has to perform. And I get the feeling that there's going to be, in the end, one or two really surprising cuts of people that everyone thinks is going to be there and just don't make it. You know, it's not going to be Pulisic if he's healthy. It's not going to be, you know, Anthony Robinson if he's healthy, but, or Chris Richards, because I think those guys kind of stand apart. But I think there's enough players there that aren't as in great standing as everyone likes to think.
So you're putting McKennie in that category.
Yeah, I think he's uncertain. If you haven't played well for the U.S. national team in 18 months, you know, your spot's not a lock. You have more to prove. You always have more to prove. And I think that's kind of the reason why the U.S. team struggled for a while, or has been struggling for a while, is because too many people took their spots for granted and they came in and they weren't playing with any kind of intensity. They knew they would be, no matter what, they'd be back with the team. And Pochettino's really trying to change that. He said that time and time again. So, yeah, you know, look, Weston could very well, I think the odds are in his favor, he makes it. But yeah, I think that he's got a lot to prove right now.
Brian Chiaretta, American Soccer Now, joining us here on the Destination 2026 Houston's Countdown to the Cup on ESPN 97.5. Well, what do you think the situation is with Yunus Musa?
Again, there's a player there that, you know, he plays weird positions. One minute he's a right back. Sometimes he's a 10, then he's a 6. You know, or an 8. I don't really. And then they move him to wings.
Some might call that versatile.
Some might call it versatile. Some might say, you know, you're jack of all trades, master at none. And there might be other. I think he does things that Pochettino wants to see more from him. You know, he has his goals and assists ratio over the last 2-3 years has not been good. They don't get enough goals from the midfield. And he's a part of that. So yeah, I think
yeah, but I don't think that's fair to put it all on him.
It's not all on him.
You just said the right thing. The U.S. needs to be more dangerous out of midfield. I don't think there's any question, and it's likely it's Tyler Adams, and, you know, is it Malik Tillman that's going to make us more dangerous out of midfield? Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? And look, it's not all on Yunus Musa, but like he wanted to look at other guys this camp, and next camp, if he's playing well, he'll get a look. He's being considered every time, and he's still sorting through players. You see a lot of these players in this midfield in this group. Not many players are returning. They're all players who weren't there in September, except for Roldan and. I forget who else. I think there's one, but Sands is new. McKennie's is back for a long time.
I mean, a guy like James Sands, do you really think he's going to make the national team at this point to go to a World Cup?
I think he's has a better chance than some people realize, because I think he's a straight defensive midfielder, a straight up number 6.
Yeah, but you just told me we're lacking creativity out of there. So I'm looking at the midfield. Looking at the midfielders right now. Let's look at who have attacking inclination. Brendan Aaronson.
Yes.
Diego Luna.
Mm-hmm. Tillman.
After that, it's Malik Tillman. That's out of the 8 midfielders that are picked on this roster.
Right, and Weston has that ability. He's scored goals and assists in the past. You know, it's can he translate that over to the national team? Now, Sands is a different issue. Sands is a backup for Tyler Adams, who's not here. We've always talked, I think I mentioned on your program, that Tyler Adams, what's the backup to Tyler Adams? And we were still trying to sort through that.
Could it be Tanner Tessman?
It could very well be Tanner Tessman. He plays more of an 8, but he could shift back to the 6. James
could
Sands
it be
plays
Aiden
a number
Morris?
6. Again, more of an 8 than a 6, but and a guy who can get involved with the attack as he's done with Columbus, sure. But Sands is different. Sands is no question about it a defensive midfielder. So why not give him a look without Tyler Adams? You want to have at least one guy who's a number 6, no questions about it.
So you think he's going to get real minutes in these games against Ecuador and Australia?
Wouldn't surprise me, sure. Thanks. I mean, he's playing in the Bundesliga. He's starting every game. I mean, I think it's
St. Pauli.
Yeah, I think it's I think he has an uphill climb to make the World Cup team, but I think he should be in the mix if this is a team that doesn't have a straight up answer to what Tyler Adams does in defensive midfield.
All right, let's go to the goalkeeping position. Chris Brady, mm-hmm. Matt Freese, Patrick Schulte, Matt Turner. There's a big circle around this position going into the World Cup.
Yeah, I agree. I in my heart of hearts, I know Matt Turner was not involved in the last camp, but now he's playing regularly for New England. I think it's between him and Freese who starts at the World Cup. I mean, I can't see, you know, I mean, the other two guys from Celentano and Klinsmann they're not brought back. And this camp, you see, you know, guys like Brady, who's still not barely on the edge of the team. You know, it's, I don't know. And Schulte's kind of been struggling a little bit for Columbus. I really think that we're looking at a two horse race right now. And I think it's going to be a really tight competition between Freese and Turner, and Freese probably has a slight grip on number one, but it's very, very slight. It's a neck and neck battle, I think.
Yeah, and that's based off probably the last camp and the last amount of games.
Sure.
The other guy, Matt Turner, has the World Cup experience, and I do think that is going to come into play with some of the decision making ultimately.
Ultimately, but I don't think you're going to see Freese starting every single game and then all of a sudden go back to Turner at the World Cup. At some point, he's going to have to make that switch if he's going to go back to favoring Turner.
Yeah. Well, Turner came back to Major League Soccer with New England to get minutes and to get playing time, so we'll see how that all works out for him. At the back, do you think Mauricio Pochettino continues with the three-back system? Do you see any tactical experimentation in these two games?
Yeah, look, I think he's going to continue with it. It's not going to be his exclusive formation, but you know, I think, you know, Dest is not here, and Robinson may or may not play a lot in this camp. Those are attacking fullbacks. I think it's great to, if you're going with that aggressive fullback formation, to have more defensive cover, and that's what the three man back does for you. And enough of these guys, you look, he's called in five center backs in this camp, so. And enough of these guys are playing the three-man back with their club. So it makes sense for them to at least try it in one of these games, or if not both of them. So, yeah, I think absolutely he's going to continue with it. And I think you'll see him wanting to be able at least to have two different looks he can give his opponents.
Well, it also protects Tim Ream playing with three backs, mm-hmm. because in some ways it's a way of protecting him, getting his experience on the field. By the way, they did a great article in The Athletic on him, and he had an interesting quote about the longevity of his career. And he said, quote, "Find a good girl to have your back, yes, and settle down with her. Listen, I started from a young age. My focus from a young age was I want to be a professional and I want to play as long as I can. That, I think, first and foremost is important." I thought that was pretty cool. His wife's name was, before they got married, Krista Sapienza. But, you know, it does speak to having stability when you're pursuing such an intense career.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and Chris Richards just became a father too for the first time. You know, it's good. It grounds them. It keeps them, you know, sometimes you get these teenagers and they're out partying a lot too, and they try to live in the excess of the game. And then when you're grounded in reality and you're coming home to a family and stuff like that, you're humbled and you're also happier too. And you have a different perspective. You got a bad game, but you know, if your kid's sick, you don't think much about it. If your kid's having a great day, you're doing well in school, you know, you have other things to take joys in life, and you don't just drown. Your life is not dictated completely on wins and losses. You're grounded on your highs and your losses are a little bit more perspectivized. I completely understand what Tim is talking about.
Let's go to the striker position. So Frank Lampard's been very high on Haji Wright at Coventry City. We've heard a lot of good quotes from Lampard. I like the spirit that Alex Zendejas is bringing. He had a pair of goals two games ago against Pumas. He just continues to make it hard to deny him, I think. Following Balogun, I would think, he's got a huge opportunity. And then you got, obviously, Tim Weah as well.
Yeah, look, I think Balogun's did really great in his first camp under Pochettino last summer. And what that did was he separated himself from Josh Sargent. Sargent, it just didn't come together. And he hasn't scored for the national team since 2019.
Not called back.
I think Pochettino's not going to wait around forever. So he's just, now he's like, I'll look at Ajimang. But then look, there's Ricardo Pepi, who's still on his way back from injury. When he gets back, I think he's going to be way high up there in the mix because he impressed Pochettino in 2024. So yeah, I think you know, this area of the field with the wings, attacking midfield and strikers, the number nines, it's generally known what Pochettino wants. I think this is the area of most certainty, and probably the area he's probably happiest with. He's not going through a lot of different options here. You're going to see Pulisic and Weah, and behind them it's going to be Haji and Zendejas, and then up top it'll probably be Pepi and Balogun going neck and neck. I mean, I can't see it any other way right now.
But to your theory, Pepi hasn't played a game for the U.S. in quite some time.
That's
so
true.
He's got to get a game and produce then.
He's got to get a game and produce. I just think when you look at the quotes that Pochettino said about Pepi, you know, early when he first started taking, I think Pepi was there for him when many of the team was not at that point. So, yeah, I think Pepi will get back in the team. But, yes, you're right. Everyone has to produce. He's no exception. I just kind of like his trend lines. I rate him as a player. I think he could do some interesting things both in the air and then with this field. He can turn on defenders really, really quickly. So, yeah, I just that's kind of my own little linkage there, too. But I think Pepi will be there in the end.
Well, that's why we bring you here. We bring you here for opinion. You're not here to tell us the status quo, you know, Brian? All right, great stuff. I like Ricardo Pepi as well, but I'm pushing for Fowler and Balogun, and great competition in that striker position, but a lot up in the air. But this is going to be a lot of fun to watch this one on Friday. It'll be Ecuador and the United States up in Austin at Q2 Stadium. Hey, Austin fans, you better come out, okay? You know, the Austin fan comes out I guess they're coming. I mean, there was a lot of empty seats for that Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup final between Austin and Nashville. Not the wall, not the fan group. They're spot on every time. But there were some empty seats on the side. Anyway, Brian, thank you as always for coming on the show tonight. We appreciate it.
No problem. My pleasure.
All right. That is Brian Sciarretta. Brings great insight. FWC26Houston.com for merchandise, tickets, volunteer. You get all the information there. We'll take a break. We got more to come. It's Soccer Matters. No, it's not. It's Destination 2026, Houston's Countdown to the Cup.
This is Destination 2026, Houston's Countdown to the Cup.
Presented by Coca-Cola Southwest, Houston Methodist, NRG, and Quanta.
For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Destination 2026, Houston's Countdown to the Cup, brought to you by Houston Methodist, Coca-Cola Southwest, Quanta Energy, Visit Sugarland, and Aramco. All right, a lot of things to get you caught up on. First off, FWC26Houston.com. That's where you can get merchandise, tickets, information on volunteering. That's where you go for that. Again, it's FWC26Houston.com and also LSSE.net. Next Tuesday, more World Cup talk, Senate Avenue Brewing. Free craft beer if you wear a soccer jersey. That's Senate Avenue Brewing. We go live with Soccer Matters in Jersey Village. That's 16,000 Dillard. So come up there, join us. It'll be a lot of fun. We look forward to seeing you up there. We'll have some giveaways and much, much more as we continue the World Cup pre-celebration before it gets here this summer. And remember, it's five games in the group stages. It's two knockout stage games. Now, there's a lot of really interesting, cool events that are going on. So Monday the 20th, next Monday, at the Aurora Picture Show in the East End, it's called Campeones. It's the continuing of Monday Night Football, and this will be the airing of the film Campeones. It's an official FIFA World Cup film. It is about the 1978 World Cup in Argentina. I've talked about this on the show quite a bit, but that was the Netherlands and Argentina. Argentina at home in that one. Mario Kempes would go on to be the big star of that World Cup. The Dutch would go there without Johan Cruyff. but Argentina would win that World Cup. And there was controversy around it as well. So Monday the 20th, these have been really fun. Aurora Picture Show in the East End. It's Campeones, and it starts at 6 p.m. Now, also, at HCC Southeast, it's called The Beautiful Game Art, set up and curated by my friend Batiri. It's at HCC Southeast again. It is already up, the exhibition. It'll go through October 17th. I want to name off a list of some of the artists that are involved. Barry Masterson, Mark Johnson, Sebastian Ramirez, Carolina B., Della Street, Ruth Hardy, Alvin Haynes Jr., Donna Carnahan, Andy Amaral, Brian Lagunas, Edgar Narvez, Justin Earl Gregg, and Eric Gonzalez, Bismarck Alejandro Rex are some of the artists. But there's also a 12-year-old artist. Her name, Valentina Quiroga. She came in studio last night, and I got to meet with this very young, talented, sweet artist who will be a part of that exhibition.
My guest now, and this is the big one I've been waiting for tonight, Valentina Quiroga joins me tonight. Her sister, Olivia, is sitting here with us. They're both soccer players, and their father is James. Now, this is a soccer family, but what I want to tell you is there's an exhibit coming up, and this is where Valentina's going to come in, called the Beautiful Game Art Exhibit. It's at the HCC Southeast Campus. It's set up and curated by Batiri, my good friend. And she is one of the artists. And you are how old,
Valentina? I'm 12 years old.
12 years old. And I'm telling you, she's confident. This is a superstar, two superstars in my midst here. All right, so tell me about how you got into art, because you are a soccer player.
Yes.
And this exhibit is all artists from Houston who are tying in soccer, the World Cup, the game that they love. So tell me about how you got into art and soccer.
I got into soccer because of my family, and I didn't like it at first, to be honest, but I started to play it, and it happened when I watched a game.
What game was that?
Boca Juniors at the Bombonera in Argentina.
I didn't know your dad liked Boca Juniors.
He loves it.
I did
Our
not
family's
know he
a
liked
maniacs
it.
For it.
He's laughing because he knows I know he loves
yes,
Boca.
Yes, he knows.
So that was pretty exciting to you.
Yes.
And then how does it all of a sudden get on paper? Because I was looking, you were showing me some of your art, and it's beautiful.
I decided to draw from a fairly young age. It was more of a hobby, if anything. And as I started to play soccer, I wanted to illustrate how I felt and every single moment and just have it where I could stare at it and know I did this in real life, and now I get to stare at it for as long as I want to.
You do a great job. Okay, I saw one that had, and we're talking to Valentina Quiroga here. She's one of the artists from the Beautiful Game Art Exhibit that will be at HCC Southeast. So I saw one that said one-on-one.
One-on-one?
Yeah, didn't you have one that was one-on-one with two players going one-on-one?
Yes, I did.
Your dad sent me that picture. Tell me about that one. I like that one.
That one is where it is, there is two people, I believe, and mm-hmm. I have, it shows the impact and the competition we all carry. It is where there are always a new perspective from each side of the team, and we all have to fight for something we all want.
Yeah, you got to fight when you're on the field. Well, Boca Juniors fights a lot, right?
They do.
They do.
Even the fans.
Well, you're right. They do. All right, so growing up in your household, I mean, you have a father who, you know, he bleeds the game, right? He
yes.
uses the game. We're going to bring him on one time, and we're going to let him talk about soccer with me. We'll have a lot of fun when we do that. But tell me, you know, at what point did the game become important to you? I know it was you saw a Boca Juniors game, but then actually when you wanted to play soccer.
I started to play soccer when I noticed that I started to enjoy it. I would dribble the ball and I would smile while doing it. It became enjoyable. It became more than just a hobby. I started to think, well, I'm seeing all these cool people do it. How come I can't be one of them too?
Mm-hmm.
It was genuinely a fun experience the more I started to play. And when you throw in your friends into it, it becomes something where like, hey, this is awesome. I want to do this.
Do you ever do you have a lot of friends that are on your team? What's the name of your team? Give your team a shout out.
My shout out to them is the Houstonians G13.
Very good. How about you, Olivia? What's your team?
I'm on the same team as them.
Oh, she's on your sister's on the same.
Yes.
Oh, sister combination on that team. That's very good. Okay, now do you ever watch women's soccer?
I've watched maybe a few clips of Emma Hayes.
Yeah, the head
team.
Coach.
Yes.
You like her?
Yes.
Who's your favorite? Do you have a favorite national team player? Or not really?
Not necessarily.
Are you watching more men's soccer?
More men's soccer.
More so, yeah, and maybe that's because of dad too, right?
Yes.
That might be part of it.
Yes.
I figured that out maybe a little bit, yes. Right? Okay, so how often do you draw?
Every night, every day. You can catch me in school drawing on note cards, on sticky notes, paper, erasers. I draw any time I see something I can do. I just draw.
Hey, you know, could you make a portrait of me with a microphone?
I could.
All right. Maybe we can do that. Maybe I can commission you. Is that what you do with artists? You commission them? Yeah, you commission the artist.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're talking to Valentina Quiroga. She's an artist. So all of a sudden you'll get an idea and you'll break out the book and start sketching away.
Music is also an inspiration. When you hear the lyrics, you start to think, I want to bring this emotion from a song to paper. You can draw it out.
Who's your favorite musician?
Hard to say. I love a lot of artists.
Yeah.
I love songs that have meanings, and I specifically love 80s majority of the time.
You're an 80s music fan? Oh,
yes.
You and me would have a lot of fun. We love, and I think Dad had something to do with that, too. I think Dad had something. 80s music is great. Everybody said that wasn't a great era. I thought it was a lot of fun. Now, what does it seem like to you that you're going to be a big part of this exhibition that Battiri is putting on called The Beautiful Game Art, Houston Community College Southeast Campus? It's ongoing right now, September 30th to October 17th. I named all the artists earlier in the show tonight. There's a whole bunch of them. And one of them is in studio with me, Valentina Quiroga. Now, you being younger than a lot of these artists,
yes.
How does that feel? That's kind of cool.
Feels surreal. I see all these people who are such lovely artists, have beautiful work, and they all genuinely have a wonderful explanation and what the game means to them. I am just the one kid compared to all these artists who are professional and older than me. It feels an honor that Mr. Battiri chose me to be included in this.
It's pretty cool,
yes.
I think it's really cool, and I think you're very well deserving.
Thank you.
What would you call your style of art that you do? Do we label it?
More, it leans to the side of anime, a Japanese style.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
Yes.
And you were nice enough to bring in your books here, and we're going to look at them once we go to break here real fast. So what else can you tell me about the playing of soccer and the sport? Do you like to watch it on TV? You made some great comments about the game, how it's fun, and it's got to be fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me more about the joy of the sport.
When I play, I have that rush of adrenaline. I'm able to have that power as if nothing can stop me. When I'm on the run, I can tackle, I can do what I feel. And there are some ups and downs to it, but overall, it is very exciting, fun. It's terrifying too, but it's also very enjoyable.
Well, you know what? Nobody could have put it better than that. That's a great one. Valentina, thank you so much for coming up here tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Glenn.
And I want you to have a great time at that art opening. Well, it's already open, but there's a VIP event on Friday. I'm sure you're going to be at it. Olivia's going to be at it. Thank you for making the effort to come into the studio tonight.
Thank you.
All right, that's Valentina Quiroga. It doesn't get better than that. Okay, that does it tonight for Destination 2026. Big thank you, as always, to producer Brian McDonald, Brian Chiaretta for coming on the show and talking some World Cup, and, of course, Valentina Quiroga, my new friend at 12 years of age. What a sweet little young lady she is. And we appreciate all of you tuning in. Reminder, you can get the podcast of this show at Spotify and Apple. You can also get it right here at ESPN975.com. And we'll be right back on the air next Tuesday with Soccer Matters and again Wednesday with Destination 2026. One more shout out to our sponsors of this show: Houston Methodist, Coca-Cola Southwest, Energy, Quanta,
Visit Sugarland and Aramco. It's getting closer and closer. World Cup 2026, right around the corner in Houston.